Hey everyone, welcome back to the second episode of the Breaking Point podcast. Today we're here with Alexander. Say hello, Alexander.
What's up, guys? Really honored to be here. Amazing.
We met in a bit of a weird way. I signed up for a call with, is it Frederick?
Exactly.
Yeah, Frederick, who's a friend of yours, a business partner, contact. And then Alexander was on the call just by chance because Frederick couldn't make it or something. And then we were supposed to talk about something, which we talked about for a little bit. And then the conversation just went off onto something else. And we realized that we had a lot in common and that we sort of see the world in similar ways and we're interested in similar things. And then I was like, right, Alexander's a really cool guy. I knew I was going to do the podcast. And obviously he's very busy, as we'll find out what he's up to. And then here we are. Finally, I've managed to track him down, and he's on the podcast. So yes, thank you, Alexander, for joining us. It's great to have you. How you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing great. Honestly, sitting here staring at the sun, getting some positive energy in. So yeah, I'm super glad that we could figure this out also here on a Sunday morning. So
Yes, I
that's how
know.
we need to do it because we're so busy, both of us. But
Thank you for doing it
that's,
on a
of course,
Sunday. I know
man.
it's probably your day off. Well, it's the weekend, but here we are. So I really appreciate that.
Of
And
course.
you're in Marbella. What are you doing in Marbella?
Yeah, exactly. So just took some weeks off, or not directly off, but going on a workation. For me, it's super important to change my environment all the time to make sure that, like, every time I like to go for morning walks, I'm getting a bit tired of being in the same place. Then I know, all right, if I turn left here, I know where I'm getting. But here, it's amazing. Always new directions to walk. You can walk with the beach, get some sunlight in the morning. And it's just always a really, really good thing to be in a different environment. It inspires me a lot.
Absolutely. Surrounded by new information, constantly stimulated. Very important. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's really good.
exactly.
And the walking's really good. We underrate the power of walking a lot, I think. How you can learn, not learn, but you get your body going,
Yeah.
get your brain going, it's all good. So
15 minutes in the morning, like getting the sunlight, no music,
Exactly.
no podcast. It's
No
just
problem.
like waking up.
Yeah. In fact, I was watching a podcast the other day, and the guy was saying that one of the most important things, or the best things you can do first thing you wake up, is get sunlight. It boosts your mood, your everything. It's really important. So that's really good. Right, so what are you up to in your current what are you doing in your life at the moment, Alexander? Tell the people how you're living, where you're living, how you're making money. Let's
Yeah.
cause you're doing very he's doing very well for himself, so I want to let's talk about it.
Yeah. So currently, together with my business partner Frederick, he's running an online educational product. It's called Short Form Society, where we help guys establish an agency that's dealing in short form content. So it's a really good product. We are experiencing massive success with our students because they're really getting into a point in an agency model. Like, we all know SMMA, we know dropshipping, all the classic ones. But slowly, like, new and better models are starting to emerge. And of course, in my opinion, like, short form content is one of those. So we're working a lot of that. I just went full time, quit my own agency, quit my other sales reps jobs, and now we are full time into the product because, yeah, it's going really well, and we really want to be there for our students, primarily on one-on-ones. So it's more of a mastermind and mentorship than just an online educational product, which demands a lot of our time. So I'm really enjoying that now. Trying constantly to put more and more hours into it because we can see really what kind of fruits we can harvest when we put in the time. So that's really amazing. But that's
Absolutely.
currently what I'm doing right now. Yeah, I'm in charge of the sales stuff for the program. We have a lot of focus in our program on sales because, in my opinion, in our opinion in general, it is the most important skill you can learn in business. It's sales because you could be the best even podcaster in the world. You can be the best agency owner, short form content, you can sell the best products, you can bake the best bread, I don't know what, but if you can't build an offer and sell it doesn't matter. So we're
Absolutely.
focusing a lot on that. So I'm doing the coaching in the sales, especially helping our guys really get the fundamentals and also the more advanced stuff into how can we actually make sure that people like what we do and that they want to buy our product.
Absolutely, that's great. Yeah, no, sales is. I did a video about sales and just how everything is sales. Like, I mean, relationships are sales, it's selling yourself, and dating sales, especially in the, we're in a market now, we're in a sales-driven market. Society is all geared around it's selling yourself and transactional. You know,
Exactly.
entrepreneurs are booming, social media is growing through entrepreneurs are, you know, advertising, marketing, it's also important. And
That's
sales,
it.
if you sales comes into every single aspect of life. So you they're all these skills that you're teaching people and that you've learned, they're what's the word? They can be extrapolated out into all aspects of life, and that is really key. And short form content, I mean, no one, there's nothing, no one's consuming short form content is the currency of today. Like everyone is consuming short form content
Exactly.
all the time, all the time. I mean, YouTube Shorts, TikTok, Instagram, short content is the it is it. So
That's it.
that's a really, really good, you know, social media marketing support, SMMA. It's a bit, I mean, you'll know more than me. Is you said on the other call that it's a bit saturated, that everyone's doing it, which
It's not a bad business model. Like, look at, there's so many successful people out there who build their entire foundation on SMMA. I won't criticize it. If it was a good business model to go into, I think that would be the route I chose as well, because it's a super interesting thing. I've always liked to work with marketing, but I think it's just now that, yeah, I won't mention any names, but there have been like courses, programs that have made tens of thousands marketing experts, which now have completely ruined the market. So there are definitely easier challenges to take up. But yeah, short form of content is super interesting, especially because it's booming. I think Frederick, he said it so well in one of his reels, that our generation, especially Ollie, you know that as well. Like, we went from watching 2-hour-long movies, like Lord of the Rings. We had all the Avengers, all the long. Yeah, we went from watching those into really binging Netflix series. I remember when I was in 9th grade, like 16 years old, like we were watching so many series. It was Vikings, The Walking Dead. So first of all, it was 60-minute episodes. Then it turned down to like 30 minutes. The Office became more popular because there was a lot of action. Then Mr. Beast came and introduced a new perspective on YouTube, like really fast-paced YouTube videos where it's just crushing a Lamborghini with like a hydraulic
Constant
press. And then
stimulation.
it's like 60 seconds. It's so fast-paced. And then we went from 10-minute YouTube videos into like we're having a tough time having the focus on a video on 4 seconds. Like 4 second videos, 10 second videos on Instagram, we can't keep our focus unless like there are
Really, really.
girls with a little clothes on, or if it's some of the bigger influencers telling you that this is incredible, or like all these fast-paced shorts showing you Lamborghinis and just bags of money and Rolexes.
Absolutely.
It's really interesting to see where's the next step from here? Can we get any faster?
And so some of these bigger influences, they talk about how, you know, girls and money and cars, how they aren't important, and yet they frequently use them in their promo videos. So if you guys have seen that, just watch out for that, because there's a bit of contradiction going on there. So that's, you know, what does that say about these people? But where we haven't actually, where are you from, Alexander? Is it
Yeah.
Finland, Norway?
Oh, you offended me a bit there.
I
That's
did. No, I'm so
it.
sorry.
No, I'm from Denmark.
Denmark, yes, I knew that. I knew that, Denmark. I'm sorry.
We're neighbors, Ollie. Come on, we're neighbors.
Yeah, I know. That's really bad. Sorry, guys. Denmark. No, I did know that. I've been spending too much time looking at Erling Haaland and Kygo, and they're all from Norway. So it's
Yeah,
kind of
definitely.
like Denmark. I remember talking about Denmark.
Gotta be honest with you, like there's not a lot in Denmark. I get why you're skipping over it. I definitely do.
I
That
need
that's the
to.
reason I'm not sitting in Denmark right
No. I need to improve my knowledge of Scandinavian countries, because I want to go to Scandinavia. So,
you should.
yeah, definitely, I'd love to. So you grew up in Denmark. What was that like? Who was at home? What was your inspiration? Was there any sort of conditioning that got you to this mindset and the abilities that you have now? Or, yeah.
That's a really good question. So I grew up in, I was super fortunate. I've always been fortunate. Like my family was not rich, and like I wouldn't say they struggled, but like I grew up in a very regular, I don't know what you call it. Like we have a term for it in Denmark, but like a villa life.
Maybe
So
middle
like,
class, yeah.
yeah, lower middle class, I would
Yeah,
say.
lower
We
middle
couldn't
class.
afford to live in the city, so we lived in like a suburb, but
Yep.
it not struggling at all. But it was just, we grew up in such a little place. It was so funny, like 900 people in our town. So a
Wow.
very small society where we
Yeah.
had the same school. We all knew each other.
Yeah.
We played football together. We played handball together. We had like sports activities. So we grew up in a very small area with so much security, or not security, but it was safe. Like everyone
Protection,
knew each
yeah.
other.
It was safe, yeah.
We had 1 kilometer like riding with a bike to the school. There was really nothing there. So a super, super safe environment. I grew up for the first 15 years of my life. And yeah, that was basically it.
Was good,
But
though.
I come from a family of entrepreneurs as well.
Okay,
So
that's interesting.
I would say my biggest idols are 100% my mom and my dad. And they always supported me in what I do. My sister as well is also an entrepreneur now. But they came from like the regular 9 to 5s. And they're so inspiring, especially my dad came from a position where like his family was not poor directly, but like they were struggling as well when he was a kid. And he always says like, I wasn't ever the best at math. I wasn't the best in school. Then he became a chef. And then together with my mom, like after some years, my mom had cancer as well. They decided, all right, we need to change things up. So they started a business. They started a restaurant, a catering service, and then they just put in the hours. It's immense how many hours those two people can put into a business. I still don't get it. Like they're my parents. They know how to work hard. And then they really showed me, all right. Then they changed our entire life. And they showed me, all right, with hard work, with dedication to what you really do, and with love, of course, you can dramatically change what you do. And then they gave us, me and my sister, some incredible experiences. They showed us the entire world. And like I was in Dubai first time when I was 10 in 2011. And I was like a little kid in a candy shop. And I was like, all
It's
right,
cool.
like you can be living like this. I was like, how the what? I couldn't comprehend it. It was such a big experience. And I was like, all right, I need to go chase this. So that's really where I came from. A family where we work a lot. We have worked a lot together as well. So like we're not one of those family who sat down at the dinner table having dinner together every single evening. We were working together instead. So we didn't go on summer vacations. We just, all of us, since I was, yeah, officially 15, we just worked together in the summer. Me, my sister, my mom, and my dad, we each spent a lot of hours together just grinding, working hard. I think that's a big reason also why I just want to pursue something, if it makes sense.
Absolutely. So you worked in the on the catering business with them when you were sort of
Yeah,
15.
now since 12 years, they opened the restaurant. So that's primarily where we've been spending our time. And it's been a lot of times. Like it's been a stressing environment, working really long hours. But yeah, I'm so super grateful for everything.
Yeah, but incredible training and preparation for, with such a young, malleable mind. You'd have been learning so many, you've been experiencing and learning so many skills, and obviously you've already got the I guess genes for entrepreneurship, and you combine that with your experience in your childhood, so you were set up really well, hence you're doing what you're doing now, which is great.
I think primarily as well, it's like I saw how the lifestyle changed when you start to put in the work, when you take on the risk of starting your own thing. Like my parents, they were good at what they did, so they changed everything for us. And like me, if I were to go and get a uni degree and just get a regular job, I couldn't settle for less. Never. Like I don't want to get under the life we've been living together with the freedom we had and also all the hard work we've done together. That's really made sure that our family is super strong. We love each other, we respect each other because we always work together. So I'm just like I could never settle for less. So I need to go out and do something on my own. Like I need to go out and at least get the same chances, the same opportunities as I've gotten with my parents. And of course, I also want to give all of that back to them.
Why do you think you need to? When you say you need to, what do you mean?
I don't need to, of course. I don't need to, but I want to
Do
because
you
I'm
want
eternally
to?
grateful for everything. We had a lot of conflicts in our family, like in the bigger family, not in our core family, which just connected our family much more. And like I would do everything for them. Everything I do basically is for my family.
Yeah, that's really good. So you've understood early the importance of family because of maybe losing or temporary losing or that or it being damaged a little bit, and it's reinforced your understanding of just how important family is, which is something that young people, because Alexander's 21, he's younger than me, he's doing incredible, which is something that we don't always realize until we're a bit older. So it's a really good lesson to learn at such a young age. So that's great. Right. So short form content. How did you? I know, I'm pretty sure, but tell the people you knew Frederick, who's your business partner, before. Did he grow up in the same village as you or the same place or near
Kind
you?
of. So we're from the same town in Denmark.
Okay.
And we actually didn't know each other. Like, we didn't grow up together playing football or anything.
Okay.
But like, I knew Frederick's girlfriend a lot,
Okay.
and like, we grew up together kind of in the same town. And then of course I knew who Frederick was. I saw the guy was an entrepreneur. And then last year, after I lived abroad for a year, I lived in Germany, I came back. I was like, I need an office. Like, I can't be sitting at home at my desk. I need to get out to meet some other people. And then I knew Frederick, all right, he had an office. So I was like, all right, can I have a coffee with you? I never knew him. Can I have a coffee with you to see how the office is? I'm considering getting an office in the same place. And it was like, sure, come by. And then we just immediately fell in a good talk. Like, Frederick is super inspiring, has meant a lot to me as well in like where I am right now and what's coming for me. I owe a lot of that to Frederick. So we just had a coffee talk and was just like, all right, we got hooked. Like, we were very much the same. We're made of the same stuff. We want the same goals. And then like the opportunity came. So I'm not directly a partner in the program, but
Okay.
I am like, I'm a part of it. So
You're a part of it.
I got involved, which was a huge, like, what can you say? Not gratitude, but it meant a lot to me to be asked, all right, do you want to come on board? Because we know you're good at sales. Do you want to come on board in my program? Do you want to come and help our guys with really improving their agencies, improving their skills? That meant a lot to me. So that's really how we started. And then we started working together in the beginning in December. We had the talks about, all right, what's going on. And then we launched the program in February. And since 1 month now, we've been full time, all of us, in the program.
Wow. Who's all of you? How many people is that involved?
So we're four guys behind the program right now, all super talented in different areas of
Yeah,
business.
of course.
So we have a lot of knowledge to really offer, especially, but Frederick is of course the main guy. He's probably one of the most talented people I know, especially in
Wow.
terms of like, he's 23, and I can't get that guy is so incredibly talented at the most important things in business.
What
It
are
is finding a target audience,
they?
finding a group of people, finding out what their problem is, and
Okay.
finding and tailoring a solution to that
Yeah.
problem,
Okay.
like building an offer. Frederick is so talented at it, especially like when you want to increase the perceived value, also the prices for what you charge. Like, that guy is just, I don't know how he's doing it, but he's really, really talented at it. Obviously, that's also why he's at where he is today, is because he figured it out.
Would you say that the team is one of the most important parts of business? The people that you're with, how much of an impact does that have?
100%. So sitting at home on your desk, like with two monitors and like everything is dark and you're sitting and grinding out a business, like somebody's doing trading, that's doable for like 0.001% of people. But it's just not fun. It's not fun being an entrepreneur and being alone and everything. So the best decision, like, I always had the feeling like I want to do my own stuff. I can't see myself being a part of a team again, but it's the best thing I did for myself is becoming a part of the team we are, because like they kick my ass sometimes when I know what I'm capable of, and they know it as well. And then
Absolutely.
when they see like cracks, they see, all right, now we need to push harder. They can tell it to me, and that's how we help each other. But definitely, that it's a huge perspective in business. Like, look at all the biggest businesses out there. They didn't get built because one person put in the work. No, it's because that one person found out, all right, we have a good idea here, and how can we get other people in who are super, super talented in what they do so that we can create a team that can actually carry this idea out in real life? It is the most important thing. Also, what we are focusing a lot on in the program is you don't have to do everything yourself, especially in today's age. Like, we have the incredible opportunity of finding digital team members out there in the entire world who can help us carry out the tasks. Same thing when you're doing short form content. Like, editing yourself is a really, really good thing to do in the beginning. But still, you have the possibility to outsource that part of the work.
Yeah.
Because our time is not spent wisely sitting and doing editing. Yeah. Our time is spent wisely going out, finding new customers, getting sales meetings booked in, closing the meetings, and then outsourcing the work. And it's the same thing with a team.
Yeah. So say I was a prospective client, how would you sell me? What sales tips have you learned from Frederick, from experience, from books, from whatever? Is there a narrative to the structure that you get someone to do something? Do you go straight in? Do you show all your cards? Do you not show any? Does it depend on the person?
I don't have a magic pill. I like the question. I don't have a magic pill that's like, oh, you ask these three questions and boom, magically the sale closes.
Okay.
The most important thing for me to say about sales, and like, I don't know why so many people get it wrong all the time. They feel like sales, because we've watched The Wolf of Wall Street, where like Leonardo, he's standing with a phone, that's not how it works. Like, sales is not about taking advantage of people. Sales is, in my opinion, is coaching. The most important thing for me, whether selling B2B offers, or selling in my own company, or ultimately also finding out if we have good candidates for the program, is to find out, jump in on a call and find out, can I help this person? Yeah. Ask them questions about their goals, their drive. Why do they want to do this? Same thing when going in, let's say, selling short form content. Like, we need to find out the product we have, short form content, our service, is it actually aligning with the goals of the client? Because I would never, ever sell anything to anybody where I didn't truly believe that that was the thing they need. That's the most important thing in sales, is helping people go from point A to point B. It's all about coaching people to take the right decision. And if I feel like that this is the right decision for the prospect, I will do basically anything. Like, I will really try to reframe to see that, hey, this is the right opportunity, when I'm 100% certain that the product I have, the product I'm selling, can actually help the client achieve their goals. I think that's the most important thing, because you can't, that's morally wrong, selling things to people that don't need what you have. So you need to go in and find out, right? Ask questions. Why do they feel like they need it? What's the inspiration coming from? What are their goals? Find out, does it align with your product? If it does so, all right, pitch the product. Find out if the client sees the value in it. If they do, you basically already closed the sale. It's not about telling, coming up with advanced objection handling. It's literally just finding out, does the client have a problem we can fix? And then tailoring the pitch, what we do, to exactly that problem. And then often the sale doesn't need to be hard closed. It's just logic or logistical objections that are coming from that. Does it make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. That's really, really, anyone who's interested in sales or has a negative opinion of sales, go back and watch what Alexander has just said, because sort of in England, sales can have a bit of a negative connotation. And I think sometimes that can be justified, because, you know, I've experienced some guys that are out there who are just trying to exploit you, and you've got to watch out for that. But Alexander's definitely not one of them. And the way that you explain that is really refreshing to see, and the way you're providing value to people, and you're helping them, which I absolutely love the way you said the word helping. That's what sales is. It's, I have something that I can help you with, and it's, you know, it's a win-win situation. It's bringing others up. It's you bring up The Wolf of Wall Street, where the guy said, if you can make a client's money at the same time, it's equally advantageous. Matthew McConaughey.
But either they buy or they fucking die.
yeah. But have you got something to say? I thought you were about to say something. You were sort of getting up
That's it. It's just it's also called the bridge theory. That might be the most simple way to explain, in my opinion, also what a sale is. It is going in, jumping in on a call and finding out the client, the person sitting in front of me. All right, what is their current situation? Like point A, and where do they really want to go? Point B. Then find out what is missing. And then evaluate with yourself, all right, my product, what I do, is that the bridge? Like, can it actually be the bridge? And if it is, boom, pitch them, and then the sale will basically be closed because you have, like, you have the solution to their problem. You have the bridge that makes them go from point A to point B. And that's all about what we do. We help people go from where they are to where they want to be. That's what sales is, finding solutions.
And the thing about sales and thing about anything as life is it doesn't happen in isolation. So if someone has a negative experience with a salesperson, they'll talk to people, and then it's not of anyone's benefit to be exploitative or abuse your power and sell something to someone that they don't actually need. So the fact that you're doing that is brilliant, because you're only just going to grow exponentially up and up and up the more and more people hear about what you guys are doing and the way that you run things so smoothly. So it's so important. YouTube is an incredible facet and asset. The information you can get from YouTube is unbelievable. But everyone knows that, because YouTube is so popular, and as it should be. What was I going to say? Oh yes, you were talking. You could say that we're very powerful at the moment. The average person has more power than anyone has ever had in throughout history, possibly within some contexts, not obviously all. But we have access to so much information, and one of my favorite quotes is from Spider-Man: "With great power comes great responsibility." Yeah. And I think that's so true. We've got to understand how much responsibility we have with this power, how anything, you know, talking about exploitation a bit earlier, anything is susceptible to being exploited. And that means ourselves, that means the internet, that means anything. And we have to learn with the power that we have to be responsible and use it in a way that is beneficial to ourselves and everyone, which is something that I think AI is going to impact a bit, because apparently the way AI is working at the moment is that it's like watching us, and it's watching the way that we do things. And that's an incredible responsibility it's like a child. We're training this child of how to act. I mean, I don't know how true that is. Who knows anything about AI? I mean, someone does, but I don't.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? What do you think about, well, responsibility?
Yeah, I 100% get what you mean here, because I think the most important thing we can realize, especially living in the Western society, like we are not, like, imagine being born in like the poorest parts of Mexico or India, like where men are working 14 hours a day, really physical work, they're earning almost nothing. Like, we're living in Western society, we have so many choices.
Yeah.
And then we see a lot of people, in my opinion, I think that's the worst thing you can do, is not making a choice. Same thing on sales calls. Absolutely. When we do that, I need to think about it. I don't know if I want to do this. Take a decision. Come on. Mm. Like, we can always make the decision, especially also about information. Do we want to spend our time on TikTok, or do we want to go out and search information? It's all about taking a choice about what you really want to do. Of course, I also do acknowledge that there are not a lot of people, like, we don't get this taught in school, like, that you have to become conscious about how you're spending your time, what kind of impact it has on your brain, on our entire way of being, that we are consuming so much social media and also so much information.
But
it comes with great responsibility, especially AI. Who knows where it's gonna end? Like, I don't know. I only like to watch it in a positive way, or see it in a positive way. We need to be very positive about what's coming, because especially in what we do as well with short form content, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be such an incredible tool to have on hand.
Oh yeah.
So that's amazing.
It's going to,
I don't know who's in, like, I don't care about who's actually responsible. Like, I don't watch the news.
Good.
I stopped caring about that stuff, because, like, in the end, I have zero impact.
Yeah.
The only one I can impact is myself and my family.
Yeah.
So every day I wake up, I do things for me, not for others. I don't watch the news. I don't care about what's going on. I don't care about politics, because it doesn't change anything for me.
No.
The only one who changes me is me.
Absolutely. That is so important. Nowadays, we're far too obsessed with the concept of the group and the politics and the tribe, and we've completely underestimated the power of the individual. One of the root of psychology is the idea that the individual is the cure to all. And the more you get bogged down with this, with group mentality and becoming one of the crowd, it's not. The individual is all needs to always be held in the highest esteem, and then the group. You've got to consider the group, obviously, because the group is, you know, our grouping of our demographic grouping is relevant, but the individual is, and that's why you can go down the conspiracy theory of the are there people out there that there's this great clip of not clip, this great photo of these like armies fighting, and then these two guys going. The key is to let them think that they are fighting, that they're the other, they're the enemies, when actually the guy's watching over the enemies. And I think that's really important. You know, you can go down that route, but let's not, because it's a very controversial route. And I don't really know. Who knows what's going on? Who knows if there are people running the world?
That's
Anyway,
it.
who
Like,
knows?
it,
It
also,
doesn't matter.
if I can, if I, it exactly doesn't
It
matter.
doesn't matter.
Like, it's so dumb to do it because. Like it's we're ignorant. Let us just be honest here. We're ignorant if we believe that there's something that we don't know. Like we're
Absolutely.
ignorant if we believe that we know everything. Obviously, there's someone who knows a lot more than us. But at the
Absolutely.
same time,
Very wise.
again, if we're watching all those conspiracy videos about like exposing the puppet masters and the world and Federal Reserve and blah blah blah, like then you're sitting watching content, like let's say 4 hours a day, instead of spending those 4 hours a day on changing your life, because. That is like what the gurus are saying as well. The only way you can really escape what you don't know is by becoming independent, by becoming abundant. And the only way you can do that is by taking some sort of action towards living the life you actually want to live.
Absolutely.
So that's and same thing. Like creating fear is a very like that's also one of the tactics of dictators, specifically if we're looking at history. They used fear to control the population. But look at like how many of these girls right now, not to mention any names, I respect all of them, but they are using fear about, oh, there's this power, you don't know who they are. It's like a secret group. They are exploiting you. They are making you a little slave. Like they are exposing fear to make them take action. And then they are putting like the thing that can save them is their product.
Absolutely.
So they are getting them fear-based to buy their product.
They're making them the hero of the narrative, aren't they? And
That's
they're
it. And I'm not sure I quite like that,
no,
but yeah.
absolutely.
Anyway, don't go down conspiracy rabbit hole. Like
Let's
that
not do
we're too good to do
that. We
that.
are. That is, it's a human, could be a, it's a human universal, so therefore in some ways it's almost irrelevant because it impacts everyone, so therefore it brings it back to who we are and how we choose to respond to it. What, where do you want to go? What is the dream? Is there a dream, or are you happy going the way, just being the way you are and being very good at what you do?
It's a good question. Of course, I have a dream, but
Good.
I dreamt of being a Formula One driver. Unfortunately, I'm not in Monaco right now because today is the
I
race. But yeah, that might be a bit too late. But
still
for
have it.
me, dream is just abundance. Over the last year, my dream shifted a lot on, or it shifted a lot from just working because I want a nice car, I want nice watches, to a point where I just really the feeling of being abundant, like really. I'm not accountable to anyone. I can do whatever the fuck I want. That's the most incredible feeling, and that's my dream. And of course, my dream is to secure health, security, prosperity for my future coming family, also for my current family. That's the most important thing for me. Family is what, that's everything for me. But yeah, my dream is within the next couple of months, I'm gonna move to Dubai, hopefully. Hopefully, I'm gonna do it. I'm going to be set up there to really change my environment, to spend probably a couple of years there, if I don't know how long, but at least a couple of years on just accelerating everything I do. I love the place, I love being there. So it's just going to be, yeah, it's going to be so good for me, for everything I do, for what we work for. That would be the dream for the next couple of years, like living my younger lives in Dubai, just hustling, working a lot, growing every single day. And then in the summer, having the opportunity to go to Europe so that we can, like, Europe is the best place to live in the summer. I think that that's my dream, just getting even more committed to working, loving it even more, so I can go from putting in 6 to 8 hours of work a day to like getting up to the 10, 12 without overloading myself. I think that's my dream right now.
That's a great dream. And I like how you haven't projected too far into the future either. You've kept things pretty local to where you are now within reason, because you're obviously aware that who knows what's going to happen, who knows what opportunities will arise, who knows what knowledge you might learn something one day and it might completely change the way you see things, and you might meet someone and it might completely change things. I like how you're not going, I'm going to do this at 25, I'm going to do this at 30. You're going with the flow, as we say in England.
Like a year ago, I never imagined being in this place I am right now. I never ever imagined that being possible. So yeah, life changes really quick. I think the best thing you can do for yourself is to find out where do I want to go, because I don't know if you read the book Psycho Cybernetics.
No, you talk
It's a
you
really
would
good one,
yeah.
but there's a really good mental picture of that. Us humans, we are like a guided missile. We
Okay.
are a guided missile. But for most people, like they're just flying around. They're just a
Absolutely.
feather in the wind. Like they don't know where they're going. They have no plans. They have no vision. But the same thing with the guided missile. For it to reach its target, it needs to be supplied with a goal. The best thing you can do for yourself is actually to get goals. I think you can do very detailed goals within the next 6 to 12 months. But then I think like setting 5-year goals or 10-year goals or 15-year goals, that's a bit harder. But at the same time, you can really set a vision goal. So you can do like short term for the next year, where do I want to be? Very detailed. And then you can do very detailed, who do I want to end up becoming? So really like in the end, having a clear picture of like in 40 years, when I'm 60, when I'm hopefully retiring or whatever you're saying, like at that time when my family's built everything, where am I? What feelings do we have? What possibilities do me and my family have? I think that's the best way you can do. Like everything in between, it, set 6 and 12 months goals. Don't care about 5, 10, 15 years. I don't think it's important. Does make sense?
Absolutely makes sense. It's very important. Have a sort of a rough sort of sensational projection of how things feel, but it doesn't have to be concrete in the actualities of what things actually look like. That's brilliant. That's really good.
Also, like I'm super honored to be on the podcast. I'm really happy to be here also because like put in the work, Ollie, because you can definitely pull this off. It's a good thing to do. I think also for everyone, like hopefully listening to this, most important thing you can do for yourself and also take away from this convo, of course, we didn't get to like speak specifically about mindset and what you need to do, but it's just like consider who do you really want to become? Like set a goal. Who do you
That
want to
was,
be? Find out what kind of person do you want to be, and then take action. Take a choice every single day about what do you want to do? Because that's the like we've gotten the choice. In Western society, at least, like we don't have to walk 15 kilometers for water or something. Like we can just go to the tap and pull it. And that means that we can take a conscious choice every single day about how do we want to spend our time. Especially in Denmark, where we are from, you can't fail. We have like a security net underneath. Like worst thing that could happen to me is that I go back and then end up in the same life as where I started. Like I can't lose anything. So it's really just about finding out what do I want. And do I really want to take a chance on, let's say, being an entrepreneur or starting a podcast, even though it's outside of the comfort zone? That's exactly where you need to go. You just need to
Absolutely.
do something. Don't think about it, just do it, because that we have the choice. When we're 30, it's too late. Then you're probably gonna have the first kid on the way. You have rent to pay, mortgage. Then it's just gonna be harder to like pursue your dream. If you have to do it, yesterday was the day you should have done it. Like yesterday, you should have taken action yesterday. It's just about doing it and enjoy the process.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Alexander, thank you so much. You are inspiring. You've inspired me. You've taught me a lot this call. You are someone that I look up to, and I hope that the viewers are feeling the same way, because they should feel the same way. And yes, please come back on again whenever you can. I love talking to you, and I know that you've got way more to give, and you'll continue to have more to give the more and more you live the life the way you are choosing to live it and the way that you want to live it. And how, as we say in England, the sky's the limit, or the world's your oyster. So yeah,
Exactly.
20, 21 years old with the knowledge and the mindset and the wisdom and everything you have is great. It's great. So,
Appreciate it, Ollie.
that's all right, of course, man. So, thank you very much for watching, guys. This has been the Breaking Point Podcast, episode 2, with Alexander. I will leave all the links that he wants me to leave in the description, whatever he wants. And yes, we will see you on the next one. Peace.